inspire, educate, connect. This is Yoga Digest, a vibrant community of passionate changemakers.
I'm Jen Bodner, and you're listening to Yoga Digest Now. We feature real people and real stories. Yoga Digest is your resource for inspiration, health, and well-being. Wake up to the now with tips from the experts on being the best you, achieving your goals, and finding balance for your mind, body, and soul. The time for living life fully is now. Hello, and thank you so much for joining us for the Yoga Digest Now podcast. I'm so excited to have somebody I've been following for several years now on the podcast today as our guest. We're speaking with Mike Dooley, who is a New York Times best-selling author. He's also a worldwide speaker and founder of Notes from the Universe. Welcome, Mike, to the Yoga Digest Now podcast.
Hey, Jen, thanks for having me.
It is my absolute pleasure. I've been receiving your notes every day, probably for the last 4 years. Mm-hmm. And I'd love for you to give our listeners just a little insight about what inspired that.
Wow. Well, I've got a pretty conventional background to now be in the metaphysical arena. It started with public accounting. Then I was an entrepreneur selling gifts and t-shirts. And my life kind of crashed in 20 years ago, right at the turn of the millennia. But at that point, I was deep into metaphysical thinking just to apply it to my life for my own joy and prosperity. And while I could not explain the train wreck of my life in the year 2000, I still felt like, you know, just stay on point. You know, remember you are of the divine. Your thoughts become things. And to help me stay on point, I wished I could have received some outside confirmation on a regular basis, like by email. And there was really nothing like that to my knowledge back in the year 2000. So I started sending out inspiration from the lowest point of my life as Mike. But within a year, that evolved into a really popular e-zine, if you will, that became Notes from the Universe. So it wasn't from Mike anymore. It was from the universe, which enabled me to say things that mere mortal Mike could not say. And there began an upward spiral that takes my breath away. Really the life of my wildest dreams, traveling all over the world, speaking, 17 books, audio programs. It's amazing. And so they continue to this very day. Now there's 900,000 subscribers. Millions have come and gone to this free Notes from the Universe service. But many stay around for 5, 10. Some have stayed around the whole 20 years.
Wow.
And have made it what it is today.
You know, and I love that you mentioned, I'm sorry that you went through the life-changing
I'm
event.
Grateful. It's the best thing that ever happened to me.
Well, that's funny that you say that, because it seems like it really did wake up something within you. And I think that's kind of what we all might be experiencing on some level right now. So I find it very inspiring that you were able to take, you know, a dark time in your life and turn it into something extraordinary with such longevity. And here a lot of us are maybe feeling that same sort of crossroads. And I was looking on your Instagram the other day, and I noticed you were talking about how to help others and be happy. And I feel like right now, you know, this situation that we're in kind of doesn't seem to be really changing, at least not as fast as we're accustomed to things getting fixed these days.
Yeah.
And so yeah, I'd
nothing
love
nothing changes as fast as we would like. But then when it changes, we're like, oh, that didn't take long. Oh, remember way back then and we were social distancing? That, you know, it was like a blink. But the challenge now that I was addressing yesterday that you're speaking of, mm-hmm, was kind of a dilemma that many who are steeped in metaphysical thinking deal with, and they understand, because, you know, my premise, and I'm not alone, in my short little notes from the universe that are usually a couple of sentences long, mm-hmm. is that we are creators, and we create based on what our focus is. And if our focus is anything other than what brings us joy, then we're lowering our vibration into the murk and mire. And this has been going on for millennia, people focusing on what they don't like, thinking that was a way to correct it, but they only perpetuated what they don't like. So those who are metaphysically aware realize that your focus is everything. And if you're focusing on good and happy and abundant, then that's what you're going to be bringing. Yet, we see a lot of pain in the world, not just from COVID-19, but now there's this finally at long last, an awakening to the grotesque inequalities of the world based on color, based on earnings, based on so many things. And I've used my platform to a minor degree, but, you know, in social media, where I speak of Black Lives Matter and I speak of white privilege. And I have been questioned by those wrangling with this, you know, Mike, you teach that there's order in the universe, that everything has meaning, that everyone is getting what they sowed through what their focus was. And I follow you to stay on this high vibe of infinite possibilities, but now you're talking Black Lives Matter, and now you're talking about inequalities. You're bringing the vibration down. And so this was my broadcast yesterday on social media, that it need not be viewed that way. We're brothers and sisters. I know that when one stumbles, we all stumble. If one is suffering, we're all suffering. So while 99% of my posts and 99% of my focus is on the infinite possibilities around me for love and joy and laughter, and I'm all about living the life of my dreams, I have the bandwidth to reach out and see better for those who are now suffering. And I'm not like, hey, you know, how do you help someone without, you know, being brought down to their level? I'm not like, you know, wow, this is bad. Oh no, this is awful. Hey, you know, we've got to, you know, make a lot of noise and get the attention of people who are enjoying privilege without even knowing it. That's not where I'm coming from. My message now is that by seeing the good and moving with your heart, you can reach out and pull up those who are suffering. And part of that is helping educate the others who don't realize they're suffering, but doing it from a place of optimism, a place of hope, a place of empathy and love, because the premise of infinite possibilities is that we are all adored, that we're all in this together, that we are co-creators on this bastion of order floating through the cosmos called planet Earth. And we can have our cake and eat it too. We can move towards abundance while doing our best to help everybody move towards abundance. Because, you know, we all slip and fall from time to time. And it does no good to claim a metaphysical perspective. Oh, you create your own reality, Mike Dooley. You slipped, you fell. You're going to learn your lessons, all as well. I'm going to go, you know, to the top of the mountain while you suffer. It's like, you know, give me a hand. I didn't realize what was going on. Give me a hand. Or maybe I chose this lifetime for different reasons than you chose this lifetime, but yet we're all here to find our own peace and move above into clarity and truth. So let's help one another. Let's help one another in joy, not in like commiserating, and we'll get through this quicker. And so that's kind of a Reader's Digest version of where you tuned in yesterday.
Well, and I love that, and it speaks to me and probably to a lot of our listeners, but perhaps a lot of our listeners and myself anyway, hear what you're saying loud and clear. And it's easy to follow that information. But for a lot of people, it's very progressive thinking. And so when you're dealing, and I do feel overall there is this awakening, and I'm starting to notice that it's not just like, you know, my yoga community that I'm able to have these conversations with. There's a crossover now with people I know in the different pockets, right? My different groups and different backgrounds and different religious beliefs, which is great. But again, it's kind of like, I'm open to that. They're open to that. How are we going to get this to that part of the population, that mentality, who are just not there? Do you understand why?
Totally. I totally get it. They're in, some of them are receiving notes from the universe. And, you know, we're going through what many have said, and I as well, see as perhaps the beginning of the greatest healing that our recorded civilization has ever seen. And it is in the midst of this healing that at first we see great disparity in opinion. We see great dichotomies. It's, you know, all white or it's all black. You're either far left or you're far right. And that is actually bringing to light the differences that were there before, but under the radar. But by bringing them to light, we can look at them and we can identify them. And I think while we don't need to be of the persuasion that I am right and you are wrong, what we can do is work from a place of love and sharing and camaraderie and truth. And if somebody doesn't want to toe that line, well, they don't have to toe that line. But this is going to get us to another level that could not have been reached if we all pretended that certain differences didn't exist. And I think for me, contrary to perhaps appearances, I am not one who wants people to think like me. I am not trying to convert anybody. I feel like I have an angle or a handle on eternal truths, and I share about them as I discover them, and it fills me to no end. It is truly my bliss, and I've been living it for 20 years. And the day that I find no one in my audience, well, you know, I'll go out and plant vegetables and I'll go do something else. Perfectly happy. I'm doing this because I love talking about it. I see the truth. I've been through the gray areas, so to speak, and so many people by the tens of thousands, by the millions by now, have been lit up by these epiphanies as well. So it's kind of win, 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 win. But I'm not here to change people's minds. I am here to shine what I feel is a light onto a path. And if anybody thinks my light is broken or not helpful or the path is dangerous, then by all means, love and peace, find your own path. It's all good for me. I can only take care of myself and share what I want to share for as long as people want to hear it. And I'm sharing for those people who want to hear it. And you're right. Many would view it as a progressive message. You know, whatever the label is, I view truth to be absolute, that love is the binding element of reality, that we all mean well, and you know, we create our own realities, that we have ultimate say in our fortunes and misfortunes. And anybody that doesn't go there, that's perfectly fine. So what I'm saying is, if some people think I'm being political, and some have accused me of being political in my social media, you know, one post out of 100 might talk about an inequity or an injustice. But if that one post out of 100 is being political, that's okay. And I don't think we're here to try to make everybody think the same thing. But I do believe under what I'm doing, there is a truth, is absolute. It's benign. It's simple. It excludes no one. It ties us all together. It celebrates life. It sees beauty. And as I share that, my belief is that truth will, let me rephrase that. My belief is that that truth, if I'm right, will prevail and be common sense in the land. And to the degree that 49% disagree or 4% disagree or four people disagree, you know, so be it. We're all here learning. I begrudge them nothing. And it's going to be okay. So it's not about making everybody agree. It's about shining the light on what is benign and empowering truth and letting people make their own decisions.
Mm-hmm. You triggered so many light bulbs during that. Thank you for that, because you are fired up and you're like getting me fired up. And I have to just interject, you know what they say with regards to the comments you made about social media. You know what they say is worse than being talked about. Not being talked about, right? So first and foremost, that's great if you're getting people. And I see that, and I have seen it, you know, at all levels. I've got young children. I've seen that type of social media interaction. And it reminds me, though, of the quote by Aristotle, that to avoid all criticism, you know, say nothing, do nothing, be nothing. Wow. And that's what we're all awakening from right now. And the other thing, I'm kind of a quotes person, but when you were talking about how you're just out there being Mike Dooley, right? Like you're just out there speaking your truth. And I want to talk to you a little bit more about that, because you use that word a lot. But yes. There's another quote by Anne Lamott, lighthouses don't go running all over an island looking for boats to save. They just stand there shining.
Wow. I like that.
And that's like all we can do. But so thank you. You know, that was really an awesome response, because I think being in this world of healers, we might call ourselves, right? Mm-hmm. Just general healers, you do start to feel this accountability, like it is your job to just go out and save our souls, right? Save everybody. And that can be a very daunting task. But you use the word truth. And with regards to the differences that exist, and I don't know where I saw this, but recently, you know, I heard somebody say somewhere how we were taught in past generations, don't talk about, you know, religion, don't talk about politics, like these were taboo conversations to have. And right. Now here we are in 2020, global pandemic, and everybody's talking about it, but we've never had any practice to talk about this in a way that's either non-offensive or inappropriate or in poor etiquette. So talk to me just a little bit more about this truth of just awakening to what's really going on right now. Because I don't want us to get in denial, you know?
Right. It's so cool now, Jen, that people are approaching this subject, these types of subjects. And I think it's long overdue. My view, and I've shared this in several of my books, and this may sound abrasive and ignorant at first glance, hopefully not after I explain it. But truth is absolute, it is benign, it is simple, it is obtainable, it is our highest responsibility to name it. And I am therefore not of the persuasion that everybody has their own truth, live and let live. I think that is throwing your power out the window. It is not that everybody has their own truth. Because what does that mean? I mean, you know, what if your truth changes tomorrow? What if you have to live by some other standards that are different than today? It's like, what is the truth? You have nothing. You have no rock to build your life upon. There are an infinite number of roads to Rome, but not one of those roads changes Rome. And in this metaphor, Rome is the truth. You can hang your hat on it. And while everybody has their own path to truth, no path changes truth. And this is from a life my own of seeking and searching and wondering what the heck and why the hell and where are we going and what's it for? I mean, even into my early teenage years. And it doesn't take much to realize that there must be some kind of platform, some kind of parameters, if you will, to create a stage for the reality that we call life. Certain immovable pillars. Otherwise, trees could turn into elephants and people could just disappear. And, you know, I mean, there needs to be some consistency. Physical laws do that really well. And then there are metaphysical laws beneath the physical laws. That's the definition of metaphysical. It's nothing woo-woo at all. And if you figure out what the metaphysical rules are, metaphysical laws are, in other words, the truth, mm-hmm. holy cow, mm-hmm. it is emboldening. It is inspiring. It is filled with love because there's so few of them. I'm not trying to create a religion, I often have to say, because it would sound like that up until now. When I'm talking about the truths, and I talk about them all the time, as you've noted already, I'm talking about what I consider the pillars of this reality, the truths of being, I call them. There's five. We're all one. Okay, we're all connected. These truths are so absolute that even a disbelief in them, and I gather, Jen, you and I and your audience, you know, Yoga Digest, they know the power of beliefs. I mean, oh my gosh, you believe something, you can make it happen. You can run a 4-minute mile. You can put a man or a woman in space. Beliefs are almighty. But when it comes to these few truths that anybody could deduce, and this is just me sitting around for many, many decades thinking about them to distill them, mm-hmm. they are absolute in spite of your beliefs. So they're almighty. Number one, as I just said, we're all connected. There's, you know, we're all one. We are different faces of God come alive. Okay, it's just one mass intelligence. Everything is God. It's all connected. Even if you don't believe that, sorry, hate to be offensive, abrasive, but it's ultimately still true. Okay, the second one, if I can do these, there's please. only God, which is very similar to the first one. It was really hard to come up with five, and those five could be probably condensed into three and then even down to one, but there's only God. Or call God love. There's only love. It is the binding element of all consciousness and therefore of all realities. There's only God, only love. And of course, the first one, we're all one. Call it, we're all God. So really, there's kind of one there. Another one is, this is a bit cheesy, but it's all good. Meaning there's order and perfection and love in everything in time and space. Even where we can't see it, there's meaning, there's purpose, there's love, there's healing. Even in the hideous, which I'm not justifying, there's a lot of hideous, there's a lot of ugly, but even there, there's order. Because what's the alternative? It was a mistake, it was an accident, it was pointless. That doesn't happen in this oasis of perfection that we live our lives in, these sacred jungles of time and space. So it's all good. Another one is, thoughts become things. Mm-hmm. We are creators through our focus, period. Doesn't matter what our karma is. Doesn't matter what spiritual contracts are. God doesn't decide who gets what, when, and where. We do through our focus. We are that element of God experiencing these illusions for the joy of it, for the fun of it. And our focus is like a spotlight in the dark. That's what we create. We are streaming manifestors, and it's done entirely by our focus, our thoughts becoming things. This is where we fit into the equation of reality creation. And I think that's five and what, or no, that was four.
That was four.
Mm-hmm. And what?
We've got it's all good. There's only it's love. All, we're all one.
Only God. You know, I'm going to have to be thinking about it because it's but that's how benign and simple and little the list is. And it can be condensed. The only one that has a moving part is thoughts become things. Mm-hmm. You know, everything else is just kind of static and graceful. But consciousness and the focusing of consciousness, our thoughts becoming things, is where the spice and the adventure and the gateway is to all things. We get to choose that. And, you know, as long as these pillars aren't violated, and they can't be violated, it's not even an option. You know, thoughts become things. It's all God. It's all good. I have to...
No worries. I think we're all on track. But, you know, we started out the conversation today with, you know, how to be happy and help others. And, you know, let's talk about the word happy, because certainly not to imply that it's not okay to feel all the feels of what we're going through, right? And, you know, for you, creating notes from the universe came from a place where maybe you weren't always feeling, you know, super happy. And I guess the reason I wanted to talk about this topic today is because there's always this fine line of masking our pain, right? Which can create some severe problems for us mentally, emotionally, and ultimately physically. So just speaking to that balance between, you know, being happy so that we don't lose our minds, right? But also no. Not living up with our head in the clouds like in La La Land, that we pretend nothing's going on and simultaneously internally creating even bigger issues for ourselves. Does that make sense?
I think so. Steer me if you need to steer me in my reply. But a question I often get, you know, is it realistic and is it even possible to be happy all the time? Mm-hmm. The answer is yes. The more steeped in truth you are, which means you realize you're of the divine, which means you realize there's purpose to everything, which means you realize you chose this lifetime, which, you know, all of these can be seen as kind of splinters or fragments of the truths of being that I shared a moment ago. You know, we had to have chosen it. We're of God. God doesn't go where God doesn't want to go. We chose it for good reasons. We chose it for the love in our heart. We chose it for the adventure of it. The more steeped you are in truth, the easier life gets, the more fun it gets, the more you see possibilities everywhere instead of dead ends. In fact, there's no such thing as a dead end. There's no such thing as a mistake. Everything is for your growth and glory. So the more steeped we are in truth, which is the ultimate adventure, if you will, this is the quest that all yogis have for enlightenment or for self-realization, the more joyful you get. And, you know, reading books like Autobiography of a Yogi and the like, you come across the phrase all the time of ecstasy, that when you have reached to this place of truth and oneness, merging your mind with divine mind, which is, you know, something we all can do. And I'm working on it now to a greater degree even than where I feel like I am. We approach and will exist in a state of pure, utter 24/7, 365 bliss. So it is possible. Am I there right now? No, not like that. Is anybody there? Oh, probably a few people alive are there. But in the meantime, our journey through truth and finding it out and realizing what's beneath our nose will take us through a kaleidoscope of beliefs that empower us and that deny us and that make us feel complete and that make us feel incomplete. And it's these emotions and these sensations and these rocking manifestations that are intentional and very often, in fact, more often unintentional, that create dreams and desires. Oh, I'm here, but I want to go there. Look, everybody happy is over there. And I have this, but I don't want it. I want that. And, you know, all of a sudden we believe in, because we bought the ticket and we believe in the illusions of here versus there, now versus that later, have versus have not. This is the illusions of time, space, and matter. You know, desire and fear is born, which gets us in motion. And there's a level of discontent. I call it a divine sense of discontent, a divine sense of incompletion. that we have until we get to this point of total supreme ecstasy. And we came from total supreme ecstasy. It's not like there's anything wrong with where we are now, contrary to the biblical story of falling from grace. We fell from an awareness of truth to get it on in these adventures and have these challenges so that we could rise back up to where we started from for the joy of it. So as we are rocking and rolling in and out of confusion, which is really a life in time and space, which doesn't mean it's bad, stubbing our toes, getting cancer, healing of cancer, not being loved, falling in love, getting married, having kids, highs, lows, this whole thing is taking us in and out of truth and not truth. And when we're not in truth, it hurts. I just read an amazing quote the other day. Disease is not painful. Disease is the product of spiritual pain that existed prior to the physical manifestation. Mm-hmm. And so this is what you would be referring to right now as unhappiness. Like how do we move with happiness when there's so much to not be happy about and we see so much suffering in the world? The answer is to see what's right in the world, to see what's right in our life, and in any area of our life where we feel pinched or are in pain or illness or in dis-ease, that's where we are missing something and could understand and see it in a new light of truth. A note from the universe once said something to the effect of, you know, of course there's... If it wasn't for your issues, your problems, your setbacks, how else would you ever know that there are truths you're missing? Mm. And so when we stub our toe or we have a diagnosis or we're not manifesting the fulfillment or the love or the money that's totally there for us to do, instead of bemoan our circumstances, whine and complain and throw our power out the window, these are the invitations to go within, being driven by a desire for greater happiness in this area, to ask, what am I not seeing that's obviously there? What am I not seeing that people who have thrived in this arena are seeing? Not that they're smarter than me, but they're not holding themselves back where perhaps I am. And so is the journey of life through truth and misunderstandings until we get to a place where it, you know, I have highs and lows, but I can say in my life's journey through truth, being a student and a teacher of it now for over 20 years, it gets easier. And it's not like for every high, there's a low. Oh my gosh, no way. It's like, it's like this upward spiral that you hear of, which is natural. And most people are on an upward spiral. Most people smile more than frown, laugh more than cry, have money more than they're broke, have friends more than they're alone, have clarity more than they're confused, but they still think life's hard. We thrive in spite of ourselves. And as we surrender and move into truth with an open heart and an open mind, we see the staggeringly obvious that life can't be random. There, the alternative being it's filled with intelligence, that we're part of that intelligence, that we're here by choice, that there's a design to the madness, that it's all about beauty. And then we just start surrendering more. We dream bigger. Great things happen. We fall in love. We're loved for who we are. And this upward spiral is, you know, utterly amazing. More health, more prosperity, more of all good things. And ultimately, ecstasy.
I like it. Maybe that's the fifth truth there, is that acceptance piece, or the impermanence piece. Mike, I actually opened up one of my notes from the universe. I love that these come, for me, they arrive at like 4 a.m. in the morning. So if I do happen to open my phone, you know, want to make sure that I'm filling my mind right away with some positivity. And this particular one said, Jen, the following is not wishful thinking. It's the simple truth. Once you form a desire for something to have or experience in your mind, it becomes a reality in the world of thoughts. Then, because thoughts become things, that reality immediately goes to work, looking for expression somewhere in your vicinity. to help this expression, understand that your job has already been done and that it's time to let the universe take over. This doesn't mean do nothing, but it does mean that you can stop worrying, stop calculating, and stop second guessing so that you can begin listening to the universe through your own hunches and intuition. You're in good hands, the universe. So I just got this in my box within the last
week. That was a long one. They're usually not that long.
I do have some other ones that are much shorter. But that one just seemed to really tackle a lot of what we talked about today. You had the one, okay, for today said, in all my years as the universe, Jen, never once have I asked for anything in return of anyone, anywhere, ever. And I think that's a pretty good policy, no matter who I am. Don't you? Tally-ho. So yeah, they really do kind of set the tone for the day before we start that intake of feedback from all of the other influences and interactions and opinions that we're going to get, be it through people we're interacting with, social media, the news, and whatnot. So tell our listeners how they can get signed up for Notes from the Universe.
Oh, that's easy. Tut.com, T-U-T, like, well, it stands for The Universe Talks.
I never knew that.
Well, it's evolved. It had a number of meanings over the years. but it now stands for The Universe Talks. And look for Notes from the Universe. They're free Monday through Friday. Yeah, they're super, super popular.
You've just released a new book, and this is called The Complete Notes from the Universe. Tell us a little bit about that.
Well, Simon & Schuster published the first 600 of 3,000 Notes from the Universe long ago in three volumes. Mm-hmm. And they've just done a bind-up, they call it. And they're bringing those three volumes out as one volume on September 29th. You can buy it now, pre-order at Amazon. It's called The Complete Notes from the Universe. It's actually the first 600 of 3,000. There's some of the best, if I may say so myself, that were written early 2000s. Nice. And there's going to be 50 additional notes that have never been in print before that will also be in that book, The Complete Notes from the Universe, at all bookstores. Pre-order now or in physical bookstores on September 29th next month.
Fantastic. Well, best wishes and continued success to you on
that. Hey, I found the fifth.
Oh, let's hear it.
Truth
let's
of hear being. It. Life is eternal. We're all eternal. God is eternal. Energy is eternal. That is who we are. So here they are. We are all one. Thoughts become things, different order. Life is eternal. There is only love, or there is only God, and it's all good.
It's all good. I like it. I've got it written down here. Mike, a quick question for you. So with, large gatherings not being much of a thing right now, speaking engagements, are you doing any virtual events that we might want to know about?
Yeah, we've done, this has been the year of virtual events, oh my gosh, to a greater degree than my touring. Normally I would visit probably 30 to 50 cities literally around the world every year. This year, none. But we've done three major virtual events. We just lined up the pages for a debut next week called The 21-Day Writer's Journey. Being a writer of the notes, I've teamed up with my editor at tut.com. That begins in September, but we're opening up registration next month. At tut.com, I've got courses and certifications and all kinds of fun stuff, a lot of which is free, that anybody can find out about at any time, tut.com.
Perfect. Well, thank you for all of that. And for our listeners that have been with us for a long time, I was first introduced to Mike by one of our featured contributors and also the founder of a philanthropy that we support, the One Love Movement founder, Kim Bauman. We had done way back when we were in print back in 2016. We actually had Mike Dooley on the cover of our magazine alongside the inspiring leaders to watch in 2016 was actually what the cover was about. So it is great to connect with you personally and see you still living out your truth and fulfilling your purpose.
Thanks, Jen.
At this time. And I'll be looking forward to my notes from the universe tomorrow morning. And just thank you so much for coming on the podcast show.
Well, it was an honor, Jen. Thanks for having me. I look forward to the next time, and warm regards to everybody at Yoga Digest.
Thank you so much.